Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, February 25th, 2021. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. The corn bin across from our house is on today, so I hope it's not too loud in the background. It sure is noisy today. I'm used to the quiet wintertime. Anyway, let's get started by looking at the weather. Today in Sioux City, a high of 43 and a low of 27. Tomorrow, a high of 44 and a low of 27. Saturday, a high of 47, a low of 22. Sunday, a high of 41, a low of 26. And Monday, a high of 46 with a low of 27. Today, the sun will set at 6:11 p.m. and tomorrow, the sun will rise at 7:06 a.m. and it will set at 6:12 p.m. Let's take a look at the mini editorial for today. This one is written by Paul Royson from Sioux City. He writes, "Curious if the writer of Tuesday Mini would care to elaborate on which statements made by President Biden has jumped at him. I would be interested so I can check them for him." First article, Deposits for Charity by Nick Heitrick. Siouxland Service Group finds fundraising answers in cans and bottles. With lives and routines altered by pandemic, just about all of us have had to find solutions to problems we hadn't encountered before. Charities and the individual groups that support them may have learned that better than any. With COVID-19 eliminating most large gatherings, events that in the past raised sums large and small for all kinds of good causes were put on hold. That fundraising interruption has had an impact on organizations that rely on these events to help others. Like so many groups who support charities all over Siouxland, the Knights of Columbus Council 743 at Cathedral of the Epiphany Parish in Sioux City faced the same quandary. No longer able to raise money through their regular breakfasts, dinners, and bingo nights, the Catholic fraternal group's revenue stream had slowed to a trickle, making it harder to donate it to causes it had supported for years. "People need cash, but at the same time, we didn't have any income," said Noel DeRouze, the council's treasurer. "We realized we've got to be creative. We need to think of something different. Churches were closed and everything was shutting down. But what to do when you can't gather in large groups? You find a new way to raise money. After an idea to collect junk vehicles and sell them for scrap metal had to be scrapped because of liability concerns, another form of metal popped into Drew's mind. "We can't take the cars, but maybe we can take the cans," he said of his thought process. So many aluminum cans and plastic and glass bottles are never returned for the 5-cent deposit we pay when buying our favorite beverages. So Drew's thought, why not clean up the environment a little bit, give him and his fellow knights a new project to keep them busy, and see if they couldn't raise some money. He and other knights who lived in Dakota Dunes put flyers in neighborhood mailboxes in June, asking residents to set their cans and bottles by the curb on the fourth Saturday, and a knight would pick them up. They collected $33 worth of cans and bottles that first month. "We thought, that isn't too bad," Drew said. They put out more flyers the next month and made $120. As summer wore on, they adapted their plan. Knowing winter months would challenge their pickup routine, they distributed the council's email address so people could send them a note when they had cans and bottles to collect. The email address began circulating among parishioners and among the public. A Bishop Heelan High School student got involved and recruited even more families to save cans and bottles. They've pushed the project on their Facebook page, Knights of Columbus Council 743 USA, where their email address can be found to contact them to pick up cans and bottles. It's evolving to the point that the council will provide barrels to collect cans and bottles to those who request them. They're looking into setting up drop-off sites this summer. "It's evolving and we keep adapting," Drew said. Through January, the Knights had raised $1,059. More than 21,000 cans and bottles at 5 cents apiece. They've used it to donate $400 each to Camp High Hopes and the Food Bank of Siouxland, two local charities that benefit people of all faiths, Truth said. No, it's not a huge total, but don't think those two organizations aren't grateful for the support during these challenging times. Plus, it enables the Knights to use money gathered from membership dues to continue to support other charitable projects. Drews said the can and bottle collections were initially considered a temporary measure, but it's likely to become a permanent project in the parish, which includes the cathedral and St. Boniface and St. Joseph churches. If the pandemic wasn't there, we probably wouldn't have done this. We would have kept doing what we know, Drews said. We got creative, and it's picking up. Like the rest of us, they adapted and solved one more pandemic-related problem. School Board redirects COVID-19 relief funds. District to focus on students instead of space for virtual academy. Establishing a central location for the Sioux City Community School District's new virtual learning academy will have to wait. School Board members Tuesday agreed that pandemic-related emergency relief funds would be better spent helping struggling students begin catching up now rather than begin constructing space for a virtual teaching staff to use in the fall. Funding for remedial learning programs, be it tutoring, summer school, or another form, should be the primary concern, especially when the district has received $20.1 million in emergency relief funds. Centralizing the virtual teachers has some merit. I don't know if it has to be done next year, board member Ron Colling said. I would hate to miss the opportunity to help all the kids make up any deficits they may have beginning this year. District administrators presented the board with a plan to spend the $20.1 in the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund, referred to as ESSER. The money is relief aid provided through the Federal CARES Act. The district received $2.8 million last summer and will receive an additional $17.3 million in a second phase referred to as ESSER II. Much of the money in the first phase already has been spent on things such as training teachers in virtual instruction, summer school, and purchases of protective equipment for students and staff, hand sanitizer and other cleaning and sanitizing supplies. An upcoming third phase could double the total amount the district has received thus far, district officials have been told. Board member Dan Greenwell said he had a problem with spending at least $2.1 million of the ESSER II funds on moving virtual teachers to a downtown location and spending money on building space, equipping it, and hiring additional administrators for the virtual academy, which gained state approval earlier this year and will be launched in August to provide complete online instructions for students who choose to stay home to learn rather than attend in-person classes. The district has offered full-time online instruction this school year, so families worried about contracting COVID-19 could learn from home. Some 3,100 of the students, nearly 15,000 students, chose that option before the school year started. That number dropped to 1,461 pupils at the start of the second semester. Greenwell said he expects that number to continue to drop as the pandemic eases. Greenwell said only $206,000, or 1% of the relief funds, was currently targeted for in-person classroom instruction. We haven't a dime of the new $17 million allocation to direct student-to-teacher interaction, he said. We have so many struggling students. We need to spend the money on them. Board members agreed that virtual learning is here to stay. They also agreed that waiting a year to see how many students enroll in the virtual academy could change the amount of money needed to equip and staff it. In the meantime, the district knows that many students have fallen behind in math and other subjects because of the school disruptions the pandemic has caused. You have to take care of what's in front of you before you can take that next step, Board Vice President Monique Scarlett said. Superintendent Paul Gaussman said virtual academy expenses could be removed from the relief funding plan and more remedial programs could be substituted. We'll take this feedback and bring back items you're supportive of, Gaussman said. Greenwell also suggested that the relief funding could be used to give taxpayers a break. administrators proposed a $185 million general fund budget for fiscal year 2022 on Tuesday that would make up most of a total budget that could wind up in the $210 million to $215 million range. The general fund, as proposed, would lower the district's property tax levy to 13.12 per $101,950 in taxable valuation, a 41% decrease from the current levy of $13.53. Greenwell said the district should go even farther. Using ESSER funds, as proposed, could lead to $11.2 million in spending authority relief. Other expenses could be paid for with ESSER funds, creating even more spending authority relief in the general fund and further lowering the district's tax levy to give district students a bigger tax break. Why wouldn't we give a portion of that to the taxpayers now? Greenwell said. The district has until the 2023 fiscal year to spend the current ESSER funds. With the third round on the way, those funds could be stretched for another year or two, providing up to four more years of tax relief until the one-time funding is depleted, raising the tax levy closer to its current rate. Gausman said he'd provide board members more options to lower the tax levy at the March 8th meeting. The board must approve the budget by April 15th. Sergeant Bluffman claims $500,000 Powerball. A Woodbury County man on Sunday learned that he'd won $500,000 Powerball prize during a morning stop for coffee. Gene Dice Sr. of Sergeant Bluff told lottery officials that he stops for coffee most days at a local convenience store. During a visit there on Sunday, he asked the clerk to check his Powerball ticket from the previous night's drawing, according to a press release from the Iowa Lottery. "She just said it was a big winner," Dice recalled, as he claimed his prize Wednesday at Iowa Lottery headquarters in Clive. "At first, she thought it was $50,000, and then I looked at it, and I told her she read it wrong, that it says $500,000. She was jumping up and down. I thought she was going to jump right out of her shoes." Dice, 73, who was retired, said he didn't believe the news at first. "I thought she was giving me a bad time," he said. "This is one that kind of gives me a bad time sometimes. Of course, that's only because I really give her a bad time," he admitted with a grin. He reportedly had a hard time getting his three adult children to believe the news. "No joke, we have the ticket," he said. Dice bought his $500,000 winning ticket at Mike's Mini Mart, 100 Iowa Highway 75 South in Sergeant Bluff. His ticket came within one number of having at least a share of Saturday's $81.3 million jackpot. Dice matched four of the first five numbers and the Powerball to initially win a $50,000 prize, but because he also added the Power Play option to his Easy Pick ticket, his winnings were multiplied to $500,000. Dice said that he always adds the Power Play to his ticket and is especially glad he did that with Saturday's 10x multiplier. "Put the Power Play on there and see what happens," he advised. Saturday's winning numbers were 4, 8, 22, 32, 58, and Powerball 4. The Power Play number was 10. Dice's ticket was one of nine across the country that won a $500,000 prize in the drawing that night. Mike's Mini Mart will receive a $500 bonus from the Iowa Lottery for selling the $500,000 winning ticket. Dice said he plans to use part of his winnings to pay off his car and truck and added that his big win has helped him feel more secure in his retirement. Woodbury COVID hospitalizations rising. After dipping to five earlier this month, the number of COVID patients hospitalized in Woodbury County continues to slowly climb. The number rose to 16 people hospitalized at either Unity Point St. Luke's and Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center in Sioux City on Wednesday. Of those in the hospital, nine were hospitalized due to the respiratory illness caused by the virus. The number has dipped to five on February 15th and was at 12 a week ago. The numbers remain far from the peak of 109 in early December. Hospitalization numbers also have increased across northwest Iowa. The Iowa Department of Public Health reported that the number of patients hospitalized in Region 3 of Iowa's Regional Medical Coordination Centers, a grouping that includes several Northwest Iowa counties, was 27, up from 20 a week ago. The number of COVID patients hospitalized in the region had dropped to 15 on February 11th. As of 4 p.m. on Wednesday, 7 patients with COVID-19 had been admitted to hospitals in RMCC3 in the previous 24 hours, up from 4 in the previous 24-hour period. Just one death in Siouxland was attributed to the virus on Wednesday. Statistics showed an additional death in Wayne County, the Northeast Nebraska County's 8th COVID-related death. Though the spread of the virus has slowed, the number of new cases has steadied in the past 2 weeks. Health officials encourage everyone to help control the spread of the virus by continuing to wear masks, practice social distancing, avoid crowds, and wash your hands regularly. Today is the day the Siouxland Choice Awards are announced. Tired of pandering politicians and endless campaign cycles? So are we. Are you getting carpal tunnel syndrome from casting too many votes? Perhaps because the Weekender has been making your digits way too hard. After all, the 2021 Siouxland's Choice Awards has had a record-shattering year, and you, dear readers, are making your voices heard. Every year, the Weekender asks its readers to vote in a dizzying number of categories. This year, we received more than 230,000 votes for businesses and individuals in 124 different categories. If you're keeping a running tally at home, that represents the largest number of votes, as well as the widest selection of categories in the illustrious history of the Siouxland's Choice Awards. Even better, nobody has hurled accusations of fixed elections or rigged voting machines, so there's that. Most significantly, our little contest is designed to answer all of the important questions of the day. For instance, we must know who is our community's most cordial bartender, most pain-free dentist, and nicest gun and ammo shop owner, right? Well, your nosy friends at the Weekender are ready to spill the beans. Where can you get Siouxland's best burger, BBQ, or tummy tuck? Check out the following pages and see if you agree. All right, you've been generous with your advice. Now take some from the Weekender. Sit back, prop up your feet, and get cozy. Here is the 2021 edition of the Siouxland's Choice Awards. Enjoy, y'all. Okay, here we go. Best Local Siouxlebrity, Bruce Miller of the Sioux City Journal. Best Place to Dance, Arena Dance Academy. Best Casino, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Sioux City. Best Entertainment Sports Venue, Tyson Event Center. Best Family Entertainment, Launchpad Children's Museum. Best Golf Course, Sun Valley Golf Course. Best Live Theater, New Stage Players. Best Local Country or Acoustic Band, Ben Grillette. Best Local Hip Hop Artist, Fetty Fred. Best Local Rock Metal Band, Ghost Ship. Best Local Sports Team, the Sioux City Musketeers. Best Local Museum, Sioux City Public Museum. Best Outdoor Festival, Saturday in the Park. Best Water Park, Tsunami Water Park. Best Health and Fitness, Assisted Living, The Heritage at Northern Hills. Best Chiropractor, Rural Family Chiropractic. Best Doctor's Office, Siouxland Women's Healthcare, PC. Best Ear and Hearing Doctors, Ear, Nose and Throat Consultants and Hearing Services. Best Fitness Center, JT Training. Best Hospital, Unity Point Health, St. Luke's. Best In-Home Care, Hospice of Siouxland. Best Martial Arts Studio, Tiger Rock Martial Arts. Best Plastic Cosmetic Surgery, Midland Clinic. Best Skin Care Dermatologist, Midland Clinic. Best Vision Care, Hedquist Eye Care. Best Walk-in Clinic, Unity Point Clinic Urgent Care. Best Yoga Studio, Awaken Yoga. Best Apartments, 103 Virginia Square. Best Attorney, Bushite Law. Best Bank, Siouxland Federal Credit Union. Best Place to Work, Security National Bank. Best Builder, W.A. Klinger. Best Carpet Cleaning, Heaven's Best. Best Cell Provider, Verizon. Best Charity, Noah's Hope Animal Rescue. Best Child Care, Theodore's Academy. Best Customer Service, Chick-fil-A. Best Dry Cleaners, Davenport Cleaners. Best Florist, A Step in Time. Best Heating and Cooling, Green Planet Solutions. Best Higher Education, Morningside College. Best Home Mortgage, Prime Bank. Best Hotel, The Warrior Hotel. Best Insurance Agency, Global Life Family Heritage. Best Investment Firm, Security National Bank. Best Lawn Care, Snow Doctors. Best Pet Grooming, Hippie Hounds Spa. Best Photography Studio, Sarah Gill. Best Plumber, Folk Brothers Plumbing and Heating. Best Real Estate Agent, United Real Estate Solutions, James Lamoureux. Best Roofer, JC Roofing and Insulating. Best Social Media, Siouxland Severe Weather. Best Veterinarian, Siouxland Animal Hospital. Best Barber, Bell Touch Salon and Spa. Best Manicure, Pedicure and Tanning, Suntan City. Best Massage, The Wax Room. Best Tattoo or Piercing Parlor, Thornside Tattoo and Piercing. Best Food, All American Food, Soho Kitchen and Bar. Best Appetizers, P's Pizza House. Best Asian Food, Golden Bowl. Best Bakery, Sugar Shack. Best Bar Food, Bob Rose Point After. Best Barbecue, Kylie Q Barbecue. Best Brunch, Johnny Mars Family Restaurant. Best Buffet, Hoo Hot Mongolian Grill. Best Burger, Soho Kitchen and Bar. Best Chicken, Bob Rose Point After. Best Dessert, Marto Brewing Company. Best Fine Dining, Cahill's Chop House. Best Food Truck, Mobile Food Vendor, Big Papa's Grub. Best Frozen Treat, Wells Visitor Center and Ice Cream Parlor. Best Takeout, Sneaky's Chicken. Best Sushi, Crave American Kitchen and Sushi Bar. Best Steak, Archie's Wayside. Best Seafood, Red Lobster. Best Sandwich, Jimmy John's. Best Pizza, Jerry's Pizza. Best Outdoor Dining, Crave American and Sushi Bar. Best Mexican Food, Tacos El Guero. Best Loose Meat, Miles Inn. Best Italian Food, Trattoria Fresco. Best Hot Dog, Milwaukee Wiener House. Best Hangover Cure, La Juanita. Best Greek Food, Greek to Me. Best Drink. Best Bartender is Abby Sewer at Bob Rose Point After. Best Brewery, Marto Brewing Company. Best Coffee, Stone Brew. Best Happy Hour, Old Chicago. Historic 4th Street Bar, Buffalo Alice. Best Martini, M's on 4th. Best Mixed Drinks, the Diving Elk. Non-historic 4th Street Bar, Icky Nickel Bar and Grill. Best Wine or Liquor Store, Hy-Vee. Best Wine List, Cahill's Chop House. I guess that does it. No, wait, there's another page of them. Okay, Best Shopping. Appliances, Carl's TV. Best Boutique, Dress Diva. Best Bridal Shop, Dream Dress Express. Best Coin Collectibles and Antiques, Sweet Repeats. Best Electronics, Best Buy. Best Grocery Store, Fairway. Best Garden or Greenhouse, Earl May. Best Furniture, Home Furniture. Best Flooring, Curry Floors and Acoustics. Best Guns and Armor, Ammo, American Brothers in Arms. Best Hardware, Wilms Do It Best. Best Home Decor, Hobby Lobby. Best Jewelers, Ambrosia. Best Mattresses, Bargain Bedding. Best Pool and Spa, Combined Pool and Spa. Best Shoes, Peak Performance Fitness. Best Sporting Goods, Scheels. Best Windows, Gen Pro Inc. Best Women's Clothing, Bad Habit Boutique. Best Auto Body Repair Shop, DreamWorks Collision Center. Best Auto Detailing, 38 Deep Detail. Best Boat Sales and Service, Simarina Boats. Best Motorcycle, Salmon Cycle Solutions. Best New Car Dealership, Woodhouse, Sioux City. Best Tire Store, T&W Tire. Best Tractor or Lawn Care Sales and Service, Bumgars. Best Used Car Dealership, Ideal Wheels. And there you have it, everybody. Let's go back now to some of the stories about some of the winners. When the Weekender asked its readers for Siouxland's Choice Award nominees, we often can guess who the usual suspects will be. For instance, the choices for best places to dance are usually clubs that have dance floors. This year's second and third place finishers, Burgies Bar and 1008 Keep Club, respectively, do bear out that assumption. So who topped our 2021 Best Place to Dance category? Arena Dance Academy, which, as the name would imply, happens to be a dance school. Specifically, it is a dance school that is located inside of a 60,000 square foot building which formerly housed Hobby Lobby at Southern Square. A dance school, a part of Arena Sports Academy Youth Sports Complex at 4501 Southern Hills Drive, is headed by Kayla Kellen, who has been dancing since age 6 and teaching by the time she turned 12. "I was a shy girl, and dancing was my way of stepping out of my shell," Kellen said. "I think dancing is such a positive thing to do." Indeed, the Dance Academy's mission is to provide high-quality instruction in a safe and welcoming environment for both the experienced dancer as well as to the newcomer. A love of dance can also inspire self-confidence, discipline, and respect for sport and dance that can last a lifetime. This was certainly true for Kellen, who still keeps in touch with her childhood dance coach. "Dancers tend to become each other's families," she said, "like I did when I was their age. Many of my students are involved in ballet, jazz, tap, hip-hop, and other genres. That means some students may be taking class 3 or 4 times a week. My students feel like each other's siblings, and now I guess I'm the mom to about 100 kids, age 4 and above," Kellen added with a laugh. Plus, when COVID-19 concerns forced the Arena Dance Academy to suspend in-person classes, she added another title on top of teacher, coach, and substitute mom. "I suddenly became an IT troubleshooter, figuring out how to offer instruction online," Kellen explained. "I discovered it may not be easy to teach dance online, but it isn't impossible either." Having said that, it isn't easy to finish in first place in a Siouxland's Choice Award category. Yet the Arena Dance Academy truly is the best place around to dance. "I wasn't expecting to win," Kellen said. "I'll accept the compliment on behalf of all of my students." You have reached the halfway point now. You are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, February 25th, 2021, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. From Sioux City, Dolores Peg Byes, age 85, died Monday, February 22nd, celebration of life at a later date, Arrangements are with Christy Smith Funeral Homes, Morningside Chapel. From Sioux City, Ronnie L. Mac McKinley, age 66, died Sunday, February 21st. Services, February 26th at 1 p.m., Calvary Lutheran Church in Sioux City. Burial, Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation, February 25th from 5 to 7, Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. With prayer service, live streamed at the church's Facebook page. Elsie J. Wester, Cherokee, Iowa, formerly Paulina, Iowa, age 97, died Saturday, February 20th. Private services, February 26th at 1:30 p.m., Oakdale Evangelical Free Church, Meridian, Iowa. Burial, Liberty Township Cemetery, Meriden. Public visitation, February 25th from 3 to 7 p.m., Boothby Funeral Home in Cherokee. From Sioux City, Dolores D.D. Jacobson. Dolores D.D. Hansen Jacobson, age 93, of Sioux City, passed away on Saturday, February 20th. No public services will be held at this time, and family will have a memorial gathering at a later date. Burial will be at Memorial Park Cemetery. Nelson Berger, Northside Chapel, is assisting the family. Online condolences may be directed to the Meyer Brothers website. Didi was born on January 2, 1928. She graduated from Central High School in 1946 and married William Bill Jacobson in 1949. They raised four children in Sioux City and Omaha. Through the years, they enjoyed many travels together until his death in 1995. Didi was proud of the fact that her relatives were pioneers and homesteaders, and that through her great-great-grandfather and uncles, she heard stories of fighting in the Civil War. She came from a musical family and was always happy when she was playing the piano. She loved going for rides in the country and stopping for a treat at Dairy Queen on the way home. Dee Dee enjoyed card games, especially cribbage. She was wonderfully creative and was an amazing seamstress, enjoying knitting many things for family and friends. She especially loved to make quilts. From Sioux City, Daniel Eugene Quezon, age 73, passed away Thursday, February 18th, after a brief battle with cancer. There will be a private memorial service held at a later date. Dan was born on June 4, 1947. He attended Hopkins, Leeds, and Central High School. Dan was married to Paula, and they had two children. Later, he married Gail, and they had Christopher. Dan entered the Marines in August 1966. He saw action in the Vietnam War as a machine gunner. He was awarded the Purple Heart for wounds he suffered. His other service medals include the National Defense Service Medal, Vietnamese Service Medal, Republic of Vietnam Campaign Medal, Rifle Marksman Badge, and Good Conduct Service Medal. Dan was honorably discharged in July 1972. We pray that Dan has finally found peace and acceptance in the presence of God. From Sanborn, Iowa, Chuck Comstock, age 76, died Monday, February 22nd. Services, February 27th at 2:30 p.m., First Reformed Church in Sanborn. Burial at a later date, Roseland Cemetery in Sanborn. Visitation, February 26th from 4 to 7. Arrangements are with Sanborn Funeral Home. From Sioux City, Jesse A. Bailey, age 41, died Tuesday, February 23rd. Services, February 27th at 2 p.m., Waterbury Funeral Service of Sioux City. Visitation, February 27th from 12 to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. From Schaller, Iowa, Joan Madsen. Joan Madsen, age 86, died on Monday, February 22nd at the Sunrise Retirement Community in Sioux City. Public visitation for Joan will be from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday at the Fretzky and Jensen Funeral Home in Schaller. A private family funeral will follow at the funeral home. Burial will be at a later date in the Schaller Cemetery. The Fratsky and Jensen Funeral Home in Schaller is in charge of arrangements. Joan Jane Madsen, the daughter of William B. and Anna O. Madsen Archer, was born on May 31, 1934, in rural Murray. Growing up, Joan attended several grade schools while her family lived in Iowa, Colorado, Washington State, and then the family moved back to Iowa in 1945, where she graduated from Verena High School in 1952. After graduation, she worked as a telephone operator at Northwestern Bell in Storm Lake until 1954. She had that operator way of answering the phone with yellow. She enjoyed meeting up with her past co-workers over the years. One night, Joan attended the Fonda Fireman's Ball at the Cobblestone in Storm Lake, where she met Elwayne Madsen. On January 16, 1954, they were united in marriage at the Methodist Church in Verena. The couple started their home in Storm Lake, where they were both employed. They later moved to Battle Creek, Galva, and rural Ida Grove, where they farmed for 3 years until the drought of the 1950s. In October 1958, they moved to Schaller, where they lived and worked for Central Popcorn, later known as Consolidated Popcorn. Joan was employed as a secretary there for 28 years, and Elwayne for 32 years before the plant closed in 1988. Then, from 91 to 93, Joan and Elwayne managed an apartment complex with 102 units in South Sioux City. Joan and Elwayne enjoyed dancing for many years and met many good friends over the years. They enjoyed many vacations together. One thing you may not know about Joan, she was a member of the George Strait fan club and had a good collection of her albums. In her retirement years, Joan enjoyed spending time with her son and her family, as well as time with friends. She enjoyed sewing, crocheting, puzzles of all kinds, reading cookbooks, and watching sports. She was active in the Schaller United Methodist Church and served as UMW treasurer for many years. She had the ability to smile even when things were not going so well. She will be missed by all who knew and loved her. In lieu of flowers, the family has established the Joan Madsen Memorial Fund. From Sioux City, Ward Ellsworth Orr, age 78, died Tuesday, February 23rd. Services, March 4th at 1 p.m., Sioux City Baptist Church. Burial, Memorial Park Cemetery with military honors. Visitation, March 3rd from 4 to 6 p.m., Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. From Akron, Iowa, Clifford K. Wagg, age 91, died Tuesday, February 23rd. Private burial, Pleasant Hill Cemetery in Akron, with military honors. Celebration of life will be at a later date, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Arrangements are with Rex Winkle Funeral Home. From Cherokee, Iowa, Lawrence Bertrand, age 61, died Tuesday, February 23rd. Services, February 26th at 11 a.m., Waterbury Funeral Service of Sioux City. Visitation, February 26th from 9 a.m. until the service at the funeral home. From Sioux City, Gail Fargo, age 63. She went to be with the Lord on Monday, February 22nd. A private burial will be at Graceland Cemetery. She was born at St. Joseph's Hospital in June 1957 to the late Albert and Bernice Fargo. Before graduating from West High School in 1975, Gail worked as a nurse's aide at St. Joseph. She earned a theology degree from Briarcliff before training to become a registered nurse at Western Iowa Tech. She worked at Iowa Natural Casing and as a nurse at Mercy Medical Center. Prior to her death, Gail resided at Holy Spirit Retirement Home. She spent many years with her life partner, John Myers. She deeply loved her labs, black socks, and Rockwell, completing puzzles and shopping. From Sioux City, Daryl E. Marshall, age 76, died Thursday, February 18th at Westwood Specialty Care in Sioux City. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 on Friday at Christy Smith Funeral Home's Morningside Chapel. Service will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Daryl Edward Marshall was the son of Paul and Martha Adams Marshall. He was born February 11, 1945, in Alhambra, California, and was educated in California before entering the U.S. Army. Darrell served two tours in Vietnam. On May 11, 1974, Dale was united in marriage with Marjorie Evans. He spent his entire career in the Army, having attained the rank of Staff Sergeant before his honorable discharge. Darrell enjoyed comic books, Star Wars, Star Trek, and playing games on the computer with his wife. He also liked to attend auctions. From Sioux City, Paul T. Leader, age 43, passed away Saturday, February 20th at his home, surrounded by his family. Celebration of life will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Waterbury Funeral Service at Sioux City. Paul is survived by his daughter Kaylee. From Hartley, Iowa, Robert Gable, age 93, died Sunday, February 21st. Services February 27th at 10 a.m., Grace Fellowship Church in Hartley. Burial, Pleasant View Cemetery in Hartley, with military honors. Visitation, February 26th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the church. Arrangements are with Hartley Funeral Home. Athlete of the Week. Western Christian High School senior Tristan Mulder knew he was the best on the mat at 195 pounds in Class 1A. On Saturday, he made sure the rest of the state knew that fact. Mulder recorded a technical fall in the state championship match by beating Blake Broca of Tripoli in 16-0 win that lasted 4 minutes and 41 seconds. With the state championship, Mulder is the final Siouxland Athlete of the Week for the 2020-21 winter season. Mulder wasted little time in making a statement. He took Broca down 19 seconds into the match and then recorded 3 back points 20 seconds later. Less than 40 seconds in the match, Mulder had a 5-0 lead, and he knew at that point that he'd be the state championship. "When I got that 5-0 lead, all that momentum came to me," Mulder said. "I wanted to score as many points as possible. It was super fun." That doesn't happen often, where someone gets a tech fall in the finals. It was a really fun experience. Broca took a shot on Mulder, but then he kept backing up, not trying to let Mulder create some offense. Broca took a shot on Mulder's legs, and Mulder capitalized on his shot. "I definitely knew, going into the match, that I had to set a statement, and I definitely did that," Mulder said. "I knew I had to keep the tempo and push the pace, and that's what I did during the whole match." Mulder nearly pinned Broca. At one point, Mulder moved all of his weight to Broca's shoulder that was about 1 centimeter off the mat. Mulder tried all he could to place his opponent's shoulder on the mat at Wells Fargo Arena, but it never happened. "It was so close," Mulder said. "I knew I was setting myself up for a tech fall or another chance of a pin. When I had that big of a lead, I wanted to focus on me standing in a good position. I really was trying for a pin or to keep scoring points." Mulder said that he knew nothing about Broca going into the match and that Broca's strategy wasn't much of a focus. Mulder wanted to place the focus on what he was best at. "I just went into the match knowing I was going to win," Mulder said. "I was in control of the whole match, and early I did what I'm best at. I really like to push the pace in all circumstances in the match and really capitalize on the other's mistakes." Mulder goes into each match making sure his technique is flawless so that his opponent can't find a weak spot in his game. Mulder's wrestling resume in 2021 was a strong one, as he went 35-0. During the state tournament, he pinned 2 opponents and won a 5-0 decision in the semifinal. Right after the championship match, Mulder wasted little time thanking those who helped him in his journey. Mulder found his family in the stands and hugged his parents, siblings, and other family members who went to watch the Wolfpack senior accomplish his top goal. When he reached the seats where his family was sitting, Mulder couldn't hold back the tears. Going up there and hugging them was a good moment for all of us, Mulder said. Fetty Fred finds a rapper voice in his life story by Earl Horlick. In the music video, My Time, Fetty Fred imagined himself rocking out on an empty stage at Sioux City's Orpheum Theater. It was meant to be a metaphor for a hip-hop artist who had finally found his voice and kept reaching for the stars, just like so many performers from the past, that he craved the Orpheum spotlight and knew he had a sound that was worth listening to. This wasn't always the case for Fetty, who had originally been a part of such seminal rap groups as Too Hype before becoming a single. Now, with the release of a new album, Strange Feelings, the artist, who was also known as Fred Jacobson, is ready to make some noise, beating out people like Brandy Raps and Taman Ray for Siouxland's choice of local hip-hop artist, isn't chump change either. Fetty, you grew up listening to rap. Who do you remember listening to when you were younger? All the big guys, you know. Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Jay-Z, Nas. I also listened to a lot of Southern rap. What was it about their sounds that appealed to you? I think they all had a story to tell that I could relate to. Has that level of modern storytelling getting lost on more modern rappers? Yeah, nowadays with some rappers, words and lyrics aren't as important. With my music, I want audiences to relate to the ups and downs of life. It is me that they're listening to. However, during COVID, many artists couldn't perform for audiences, right? That's the thing with rap. It's a genre that is as much about spoken word performing as it is about music. If you're not in front of an audience, you can get rusty. Luckily, I've had opportunities to perform. That includes some established people in the Midwest rap scene, I see. Even though I haven't signed with the Kansas City-based Strange Music Inc., I've just worked with a lot of their artists like Jerry Robinson, Joey Cool, Stevie Stone, JL, Godemus, and UBI. Cool. Are there people you'd like to acknowledge for helping you along the way? I got to give props to Forewarn Records President Daniel Aquino, as well as to my fans who voted for me for the Siouxland's Choice Award. One Click Better by Earl Horlick. JT Trainings Todd offers fitness training with real-world results. Personal trainer Jay Todd never promises his clients a world of change. Instead, the JT training owner simply says he wants to make their lives one click better. If I can make them do one more push-up or help them avoid eating something unhealthy, I'll do it, Todd said, inside an office at his 4th Street fitness studio. The best things in life are done one click at a time. Todd ought to know. A sports medicine professional with more than 25 years of experience, he taught at colleges while training clients who run the gamut from athletes to beauty queens to people off the street. This approach is also the reason why JT Training muscled into a first-place finish as Siouxland's Choice for Best Fitness Center. Todd and his hard-bodied crew of cardio aficionados ran laps around Four Seasons Health Club and Thrive Fitness, which had to contend with second and third place honors. However, every assessment Todd makes starts with the same question. What goal are you hoping to achieve regarding your athletic ability or personal fitness? I'm working with clients ranging in age from 8 to 80, Todd explained. While I can train an elite athlete, most people don't want to become elite athletes. In fact, they may simply want to lose weight, tone lean muscles, and while getting into get better shape. We personally create every program based upon evaluations using proven scientific principles of exercise physiology, Todd said. That may include everything from weight loss and body fat reduction to muscular strength and endurance to reducing pain and improving balance and flexibility. Plus, Todd promises such activities will be done in a non-intimidating fashion. Walking into a fitness facility can be challenging for people, he said. It's a misconception that everybody who goes to a gym is in perfect shape. That simply isn't true, he said. A recent noontime class had a mix of fitness buffs as well as people simply wanting to get back into shape after the holidays. Most people have neither the desire or the flexibility to spend 2 hours a day at a gym, Todd said. That's why we try to pare everything down as much as possible. For instance, his clients do the work of a typical 60-minute session in only half that time. Indeed, Todd and his assistants choreograph sessions into rapid-fire sessions, having clients go from station to station or exercise to exercise with little rest in between. You have to keep programs fun, challenging, and ever-changing, he explained. Every time a person comes to work out, it will be a different routine. Nobody gets into a rut around here, Todd said, while putting his noontime crew through the motions. This can make exercise the ultimate stress reliever. My clients come to me in all shapes, ages, and abilities, Todd explained. If they commit to a program, they'll learn proper technique and get into shape while having a blast, which is ultimately what Todd's clients want. They're looking for individual results from programs designed with them in mind, he said. Nothing is worse than a boring exercise class. We don't do boring here. Torta Titans tackle an LA sensation. Believe it or not, Tacos El Guero adds a birria pizza to its menu. For more than 6 years, Tacos El Guero has become famous for terrific tortas, extraordinary enchiladas, as well as wet burritos that come soaked in a devilish red sauce. This is the why the popular eatery secured a first-place finish when it came to Sulin's choice for best Mexican food. It might surprise some people that Tacos El Guero is also becoming known for a dish that isn't known for originating south of the border. You see, Tacos El Guero, with locations at 525 Pearl Street, as well as 1301 River Drive in North Sioux City, is now serving pizza. No, we're not kidding. Somebody on our staff had seen a video on birria pizzas online. Candy Sanchez, who co-owns Taco El Guero with husband Eduardo Sanchez, explained. He asked me if I knew how to make one, and I said yes. A well-known dish that originated in Los Angeles, a birria pizza doesn't have much in common with its better-known Italian cousin. Made with slow-cooked beef, a birria pizza is essentially an inside-out pizza where the meats and cheeses are cooked while nestled in a layered flour tortilla crust. A person would dip a slice into a zesty sauce and nosh to his heart's content. Candy Sanchez's attempt at making this newfangled fusion food proved so successful that she and Guero began promoting the birria pizza on social media. That's when the Sanchez's discovered they invented a monster of the most delicious variety. In case you didn't know, birria is simply another way of describing stew meat, often marinated in a rich adobo and served on celebratory occasions. Birria often required up to 6 hours to fully cook. There's the rub. Birria isn't a meat preparation to be rushed. Also, a full-size pizza was a whole lot of food. Initially, our birria pizza was available only by special request, Candy said. Once we perfected it, we offered a full-size pizza as well as a personal-sized version. That's great news for Taco El Guero's diners who are seeing tender birria turn up in other menu items in addition to pizza. Plus, it couldn't have come at a better time for the Sanchez as they were forced to change Taco El Guero's business model due to COVID-19. Right now, at our downtown Pearl Street location, we went from full service to a place where people can order and pick up takeout food, Guero Sanchez said, adding that the North Sioux City shop was always an eat-and-go location. We feel so blessed that our customers have been so loyal, Candy said. Even during a pandemic, they still wanted food from Tacos El Guero. Well, who can blame people for hungering over such seminal south-of-the-border meals as flautas, fajitas, and the humongous wet burritos, which has always been the eatery's bestsellers? Just between us, we may add the birria pizza as a last-minute entry into Taco El Guero's most tantalizing additions. The pizza is great. It's the dipping sauce that makes it delicious. Kids Play. Launchpad Children's Museum blasts into the stratosphere. Marking its 5th birthday in February, Launchpad Children's Museum has two things to celebrate. First of all, the 623 Pearl Street facility picked up first place honors as Sulin's choice for family entertainment. It beat out New Stage Players and Cone Park for that honor. Perhaps of equal importance is that Launchpad Children's Museum also has a new executive director who isn't afraid to get her hands a bit dirty. That comes in handy since Carrie Leibowitz already has a working knowledge of a life-sized, incredible milking cow. I remember my husband, Josh, asking me how my work was, she said, laughing at the memory. I told him I got to climb inside a fiberglass cow today. It's all in a day's work for Leibowitz, who began working for the museum as a volunteer in 2015. I was working for the Children's Museum before we even had a building, she explained. Over time, Leibowitz has been an administrative assistant, development coordinator, director of donor care, and most recently, operations manager. When you work for a nonprofit like Launchpad, you wear many hats, she said. I guess you can add additional guest services, assistant, and maintenance person to my responsibilities. That is quite a change for Leibowitz, who had previously been a stay-at-home mom when her daughter Quinn was born. It was because of Quinn that I became interested in the Children's Museum, she said, recalling the fun her family has had at similar facilities at Omaha and Minneapolis. I thought, wouldn't it be awesome for Sioux City to have its own children's museum? Calling Launchpad a museum might be a misnomer. When people think of a museum, they think of places where everything is behind plexiglass, Leibowitz said. Launchpad is a place where kids have fun, explore, and can be hands-on with everything. Indeed, Launchpad has stations set up to look like shops, cafes, scientific labs, and, with the fiberglass cow, even a farm. Which begs the question, do kids learn at Launchpad? Children absolutely do learn at the Launchpad, but they're having too much fun to realize it, Leibowitz said with a chuckle. Let that be our little secret. If truth be told, she is also having fun. Taking early childhood education classes while in college, Leibowitz thought she'd be too introverted when it came to soliciting funds. Instead, she discovered her passion outweighed any shyness. It's easy to be enthusiastic when you love what you do, Leibowitz said. It's also easy to be dedicated to it. Well, everybody, we have reached the end of today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, February 25th, 2021. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.